welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. I'm Stacey Mulcahy, and I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft. Today, I'm going to walk you through the Instagram API. We've been very busy putting together a new initiative to help people get started with Windows 8 development, and we've been calling it API Mash. We've created starter kits in both C# and HTML and JavaScript that illustrate how to use and leverage various APIs such as Yelp or Meetup, Bing, even Instagram. These starter kits take care of the basics. They allow you to focus on how you want to use the data and not how you have to get the data. API Mash is a collection of starter kits that let you get your feet wet with Windows development. We have a GitHub repository where over 12 or so applications exist that you can download and just use to get started, and they bring in the data for you and you can work on the UI. It's a foundation for you to start with Windows 8 development, and you can publish your own unique Windows 8 applications using the data that we provide. Today I'll be exploring Instagram. Instagram is a service that allows you to easily take photos, apply filters, and share them on other social networks such as Facebook or Twitter. Photos from Instagram have a square shape much like that of a Polaroid picture. The Instagram API has several endpoints that do not require user authorization, and we're going to be looking at those today. All the API calls I will show do not require authentication, so we don't need to worry about OAuth. As with any API, it's important that you familiarize yourself with the terms and conditions along with their documentation. For the Instagram API, you can find the documentation at http://instagram.com/developer. To use the Instagram Starter Kit, you will need to register with Instagram and create an application as a developer. Once you have created an application, you will need to record the client ID as this is using all the API calls. I'll walk you through the process of registering your application, where to replace that client ID, and then how to start working with this starter kit. To get started, you're going to need to download all of the starter kits or just even the Instagram starter kit that are available on GitHub. Going over to GitHub, you can just download them through the zip, or you can actually go and browse a repository to see what kind of applications we've started for you. If you go to GitHub, you'll see we have Windows Phone Starter Kits and Windows Starter Kits. We want to look at the Windows Starter Kits today. So the Windows Starter Kits lists a bunch of different starter kits that we've created for you. Chuck Norris, Foursquare, Tumblr, Rotten Tomatoes, all of these starter kits are available for you to get started with and provide a baseline foundation for a basic Windows 8 application. Today we're going to be looking at Instagram, so we can go into the Instagram and take a look at the repository and see all the documentation that's required in the README. All the READMEs for all of our starter kits tell you exactly what you need to do, right from downloading it to getting the keys to compiling. Once you've downloaded the starter kit that you want to work with, or for today you want to download Instagram, we need to head over to Instagram and register as a developer. I'm already registered as a developer, so you can see here that my name shows up. And we're now in the developer platform area, or the API area, and we can take a look at all the documentation that Instagram provides for their APIs, as well as register an application. We need to register an application or under what's called Manage Clients, because we need a unique client ID. That ID is passed along with every single call, and it helps Instagram know how many calls are being made by a certain application, along with perhaps the IP of that application. So, to start, we need to go to Manage Clients, and we need to register a new client. We're going to be using this in an application sense and not necessarily on the web. So a couple of these fields really don't apply to us, but we need to fill them out anyways. So to make an application name, you can name whatever you want this to be that makes sense to you. It should probably be the same name as your Windows 8 application, just so that you have an understanding of how things map. You can put in a basic description, and I'm just going to write using the API. But here you might say, building an app that is showing Instagram photos mapped against Bing map data based on your geolocation. For your website, you need to put an authorized or a valid URL for a website. You can't use localhost here, so I'm going to use my website. But once again, this is if you're using this in a web context, and we're actually using it in an app context. So this doesn't necessarily apply to us, but we still need to fill it in. And then the redirect URL, once again, is for authorization, which we're not using, but we also just need to fill it in. And you can put pretty much anything here that you want to put. It's not, we're not using those URLs, so it doesn't really matter. It's just a matter of filling those items in. And then you hit register. Once you've registered a new client, you see that you have a client ID, a client secret, a website URL, and a redirect URL. All we really care about is the ID and the secret, and that's what we need to start using the Instagram API on calls that are what we consider userless, but not specific to a user. So we just want to use all the calls in Instagram that we can without having authorization. So you're going to need to record the client ID, and I'm just going to copy it here. Copy that client secret, and then we're going to move over into the actual starter kit. And you can just open the starter kit by double-clicking on the solution file, and it'll automatically open in Visual Studio for you. In Visual Studio, we're going to be taking just a look at how this package is put together so that you have an understanding of how these API calls are made and actually what's available for you. If you follow the README, it tells you that you need to go and replace that client ID. So we're going to replace that client ID with the one that we copied. If you go into the JavaScript folder, there's going to be a JavaScript file called API Globals. API Globals just holds all the globals that you might need to call the API. So it's going to be anything along the lines of client secret, client ID, etc. We just care about client ID at this point in time. So click on API Globals and you'll see that in here we're going to need to replace this client ID with that ID that we just copied from Instagram. So we're going to replace that. And that is all we need to get started with the Instagram API. We can now take a look at how this application works and how it renders content that's gathered from the API. So save that, and then we can, I'm going to run in simulator mode. And we will see the first front page show up and it will run no problem. Now, the three kind of sections to the Instagram API, there's a location example, a tags example, and a popular example. I'm just going to quickly go through the different examples and you can have a sense of what kind of data you can get from the Instagram API. If we go through, if we go to the locations example, we're using geolocation to check your coordinates. So you need to allow geolocation to be used. And this is given to all your users as an option. They can say yes or no. So when you're building something with geolocation, you really need to consider whether they say yes or no to that option. So for Instagram, we use geolocation and we're detecting your geolocation and pre-populating those fields. Once you hit search, you will see that it takes those coordinates and it does a search for items that have been taken near you with those same geolocation coordinates. Location is a very simple way to get pictures that are located around you. If we go back and we look at the tag example, people using Instagram can take a picture, post it, and then actually tag it, and they can give it a bunch of different tags. Some people tag it excessively and you'll have multiple tags against an item, and sometimes you'll just have one and sometimes you won't have any at all. So tags is another really interesting way that you can search content on Instagram. Now, Instagram provides a way for you to search for tags. They don't actually provide you with most popular tags or all tags being used. So there is no endpoint for that, but you can search for a tag by its name. So I've given the option here of snowy, and we're going to search for any tags that include the word snowy. And we see a big list that shows up in terms of what people have used, including snowy. We can click on one of these items, so let's go Snowy Mountains, and we see all the data populating that have been tagged with those items. And as you can see, there's a bunch of pictures. Now, the data that comes back, I'm just using the basic thumbnail images here, but the data is quite rich, and it has larger images, the number of likes, it has captions, geolocation data if the user submitted it with geolocation. The data coming back is quite rich, so you have quite a few options with how you want to display it or use it here. I just simply took the username and I took the image, and that's all I did here. If we look at the popular example, you can get what's most popular on Instagram. And Instagram, because it is a social community, you have the option to like items. And so that kind of dictates what's popular right now. So we can also pull popular media, and from there, I can go through and figure out what kind of tags are being used in popular media, and also, once again, do a search against tags. So Instagram provides you with about 5 or 6 different endpoints where you can get media at different sorts without having any authorization at all. And you can have a bunch of these beautiful images showing up. So it's quite easy to get started with having an app that's very photo-centric. So the Instagram API is fairly simple, and we're just going to take a quick look at the code that runs it. I'm going to stop this here, and then we're going to look in the JavaScript file. We have API globals, which is just purely for configuration, and then we have Instagram.js. Instagram.js is basically where all of the API calls are made. And this is done in a pattern that's considered the module pattern. So this is self-contained and quite easy to use. The only things that we really care about with this item is that we need to pass in a client ID for it to actually work. And other than that, nothing else we don't have to worry about. It takes care of itself. If we scroll down, we can see various endpoints that we're going to be hitting for data. So we can get we can search against recent media by tag. So I can say, get me the most recent items against Snowy, for example. And that brings back a capped limit of something like 20 items. So if you want to get more than 20 items, you need to call it again using different parameters that you have to look up on the Instagram documentation. You can get popular media. You can get media that's kind of within a radius of longitude and latitude. You can get locations that are actually listed. You can get media by location ID, so you can search up for locations. So around me, has anyone tagged a photo around me, and what are those location IDs and names? I can also use those IDs and names to kind of center in on a specific location and just get media based on that location ID. And you can also just, again, search tags by name. So if you're not sure what kind of tag you want to use, you could just search for tags by names, and it'll give you anything that's been tagged with including that name. All of the calls are self-sufficient, and they rely on jQuery. And so we're just making a basic GetJSON request and returning that to you. So returning that to you means that you can now handle the success or the error, however you want to do that. And that's up to you to handle. But the API itself handles the endpoints, it handles making the calls, and just returning the data, whether it's error or success, to you. So the only dependency that this Instagram.js has is jQuery. And you could use this outside of this project if you wanted to in a basic HTML project, because it's self-sufficient, it's not tied to anything. And so we can just take a look at how an actual call will be made. And we're going to go into location. And location has is a page, and location has this HTML, it's CSS, and also it's JavaScript. We're going to go into the JavaScript. And if we look in the JavaScript, we will see that the one thing that you need to do is you need to initialize that Instagram.js with a client ID. And so Instagram.init is a function where you pass in the client ID, and we just kept the globals in Instagram API globals.clientID. And that's the only thing you need to do right at the start to make sure that that's initialized. Making a call is fairly simple. For example, if I'm doing get locations, I'm just going Instagram.getLocations, and I'm passing it the parameters it's expecting for, which for this call, it's going to be longitude and latitude. You need those at the very, very base. And once again, that Instagram.js class has defaults set for that. So if you didn't pass anything through, you'd still be okay. It has some defaults, but it might not be exactly what you want it for. Instagram.getLocations is going to require longitude and a latitude, and we're passing it in. But once again, it has defaults, so you don't necessarily need to pass that in. We're passing in the longitude and latitude, and what gets returned to us is that JSON request, but it's actually the promise, because going out to an API and getting data is an asynchronous process. you can't just go call it and get the data right away. It's going to take a little bit of time. So in returning a promise, we can handle what's going to happen when it's done or what's going to happen when it error out. And in both cases, when it's done, I'm going to process that data and do whatever I want with it, whether I'm going to set it to a list or I'm going to create a visual display, however I want to do it, I can handle that here. And if it errors out, I can also, you know, be kind to the user and show them an error that's going to happen and give them perhaps what's happening with the error. It might be that the server's down. It might be that I made a bad request. It might be something along those lines. So it's always very nice to give the user a sense of what is happening and why. So that's the Instagram API at its very base, and it has several calls that you can use to leverage, and it's just begging to be mashed up with Bing Maps or even Foursquare for that matter. They've been working together with Foursquare, and you'll see that once you read the Instagram documentation, there's a couple options to actually pass in Foursquare IDs for location-based calls. We've made the starter kits readily available on GitHub, and all the starter kits can be downloaded in a single zip. And they don't even require you to log in. So just head over to GitHub and download and explore the starter kits to get started. To learn more about API Mash, head over to Channel 9, where they have several other API screencasts, as well as online and live events. As evangelists, we're here to help you. And to help you, we've created meetups across the area, which will list our weekly office hours, where we encourage you to drop in to get any questions answered or even to just test your application on a device. Join your closest meetup to learn about additional in-person workshops and seminars near you. Good luck!